Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hi, this is Marion Ross. So lovely talking to my friend Audrey Russo. And I want you all to go and buy my new book, My Days Happy and Otherwise. And read the good and the bad about it. And it's been so much fun talking to Audrey Russo.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. We have been transitioned into what the Communist Democrat Party wanted all along, a banana republic in just 2 years. Will Soros and his minions put President Trump in jail to prevent him from running? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Diana has also been a columnist for the Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media, and she can be read at the Daily Caller. Diana is also a popular analyst and contributor on both radio and TV. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West.
Still standing. Great to be with you. There's no one I'd rather be with today, Audrey.
Oh, thank you. So, I mean, and ditto, because I can't wait to get into this with you because of your vast studies in this, and you know what's going on. And when I say that, people are saying, well, what do you mean? Communism, okay? I'm not mincing words anymore. It's so great to have you back with us. I have to start out with, where are the voices of opposition to this? This is a crime against the people in removing the opposition leader in America. That's never, ever, ever been done before. What's going on here, Diana?
Well, if nothing is normal, this is situation not normal. This is situation revolution. Now, you and I have been discussing this for a long time in terms of the coup of 2020, in which the people's will was overturned between November 3rd and January 6th.
Yes.
That's what happened. So we've been living in this post-coup junta, we could call it, with Joe Biden as puppet leader.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how we don't even know who's really running the country at this point, but it certainly doesn't reflect the will of the people. And so everything that's been happening turns out to be a consolidation of this revolution. And in fact, this dictatorship. Dictatorship is probably the best word.
Yeah.
You know, people can argue over communism, socialism, fascism, etc. It all is talking about central control. It's all talking about dictatorship, and it's all talking about lawlessness. Yeah. There is no more equality before the law in a dictatorship. End of story. And I thought one of the most interesting, it's nobody on our team, you know, they're all out. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
I guess they're playing for the other team is where we have to go with that ultimately. But somebody who made a comment of great insight that really gave us and also perspective from a ways away was the president of El Salvador.
Wow.
And he said on Twitter, he said, imagine if this happened to a leading opposition presidential candidate here in El Salvador, here in what people think of as banana republics, right?
Right.
That whole concept of somebody comes in, a strong man comes in, and what is the first thing he does? He destroys his opponents.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. He said, never again can America use democracy, quote unquote, in its foreign policy to affect change, basically, that words to that effect. That part I don't care about. You know, I don't want to use anything. I want to take care of America.
Yes.
Figure out what's going on wrong here. And he nailed it. This is a situation where literally the opposition leader, the people's choice has been arrested and is in the maws of this lawless justice system. And that's kind of where we are. And when you step one step back, you say, this is not America. This is not our justice system. This is the dictatorship that came in with a revolution.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wish people would step back away from the news media because they are being, of course, it's just sheer propaganda at this point. But
yes,
they don't understand what is the significance of what's going on. They really don't. They think this is some kind of game that's being played out. Oh, it's a show. It's okay. It's not a show, is it?
Yeah, right. No, it's not a show. And let me give you a great line of, you know, about a million great lines written by George Orwell.
Yes.
He wrote, "One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship."
Wow.
And I think that, you know, that is essentially where we are. Think of the word revolution. It is a circle. It is a turning over. It is a complete sweeping away of what came before, and that is where we are in America, which is horrifying. It's horrifying. Mm-hmm. Now, this is probably the most cagey, stealthy, interesting for historians someday revolution in that, you know, we're looking at a 100-year march through the institutions.
Yes.
That get to this point. You know, this isn't something that happened in 2020 or even 2008 or, you know, along the way. This has been a long process, and people, you know, like that frog boiling in water that doesn't know that it's being cooked alive because it's so gradual.
Yeah.
That is much of, you know, a good way to think about over the generations, what has happened to us, what we have learned to tolerate, what we have been conditioned to tolerate. This is so Pavlovian.
I want to ask you for the listeners, would you, because you mentioned the long march through the institutions, that's Gramsci. Would you explain you don't have to go into, you know, great, great detail, but enough for the listeners that may not be aware of what that is and how serious that is.
Yes, and it's also Mao. It is this notion where after the Russian Revolution, the communist in 1918, the communist revolutionaries expected all the governments in Europe to just crumble and embrace the new dawn of communist revolution, and it did not happen. And this caused this crisis in the communist movement and a rethinking of tactics that ended up creating the most successful communist revolution ever, looking at the United States and elsewhere, through this notion of boring from within, which is something they'd already done, but boring from within, seizing the institutions by stealth and subversion, meaning the institutions of of the government, of the church, of education, of the media, of the arts. In other words, it would be this people could look the same, they could still wear coat and ties even, they're not wild-eyed revolutionaries seizing buildings, although they have that as well. Mm. It's this very careful, strategic effort to take down institutions from within. And that is where, unfortunately, this is our time, that we are creatures of our time. This is our day. This is the culmination of this just unstoppable seeming movement. And along the way, when you had, for example, a Senator Joseph McCarthy whom we're supposed to look at as the devil dog of our history, when he steps up at age 41, bless his yeah. heart, age 41, and says, "Hey, there's a problem with communist subversion inside our basically our defense industry and our State Department and these incredibly national security sensitive complexes," he had to be destroyed. And that's the genesis of McCarthyism, which actually comes straight out of Communist Party strategy.
Wow.
Stalin himself coming out of Moscow. I mean, this is how careful this was done. And then many people have also heard of the Frankfurt School. This, too, was not an organic movement. These radicals who set out to destroy religion and the family and human sexuality and everything else we're dealing with the aftermath of now, that too was created in Moscow as a means of waging war, according to Marx, against the institutions of the West. So this is a very long war, long march, and it has its sort of origins in terms of being executed in the communist centers of the world. So that's why you can call this communism. It started there, and it looks like it now. It's what totalitarianism is.
Yeah, that's, and we're seeing the result of it. Of course, we're seeing it with the what they call the trans movement, which of course is gender dysphoria. Isn't that it? Because this, I'll give the example of what happened in Nashville last week. Isn't this exactly it, where they have flipped it? You had someone who is angry, hostile, murderous, ends up murdering six people, three of them children. No one in the media nor politicians mentioned, I'm talking about Democrats now, not one of them mentioned the victims. Instead, they flipped it and made this person the victim, and that, in other words, justifying their murder of innocent people.
Yes. Yes, no, it's excruciating to witness things like this. But yes, it's all connected, because there is this effort to the cool word now is disassociative and all of that in terms of sexuality. Right. They're trying to essentially break our connections, every connection we have to biology, to the world around us, to our family, to our country, to our everything. It's all part of this, really, this sort of overarching rubric of transhumanism, which is also connected to these same radical movements. The thing about Donald Trump is that he was the great interrupter. When he came on, I saw a clip just today of George Soros speaking in 2009. And he was essentially, back in the day, people used to think experts, if you want to call them that, but, people in finance and politics of note, that they were really telling you what they thought might happen, as opposed to reading off a game plan. This is how I look back on these things. And his game plan that he was presenting as if it were just his thinking was that the United States, the dollar had to be weakened, and that would happen because the United States economy would remain weak. Hmm. So 2009, we get weaker in the economy and weaker under Barack Obama and weaker under a second term. And if Hillary had, I'm sorry, I forgot the other big piece of it, which he was saying that China would be the driver of this and become the dominant economy, which of course was the big buzz back then. And Donald Trump comes in instead of Hillary Clinton and interrupts this plan. And he, as well as we and our economy and everything else, had to be taken down because the globalists have this plan. And that essentially is why this man, remember, he's a human being. He seems like a superhero sometimes, but he's a man. Yeah. He's a 76-year-old man that is the locus, the focus of this hate and this destructive energy, because he was able to interrupt this plan in 2016. And goodness knows what he would have been able to do going back into office in 2020.
Well, exactly. And then think about, too, the fact if he had an actual party that was supporting him, what could have been done to help this country, according to the, because the bottom line is this, and I said it at the top of the show, that it doesn't matter whether you like the way somebody tweets, or if you like whether they drink coffee or tea, or they say to some, it matters. We're not hiring an IT professional, so it doesn't matter if you like the tweets. We're not hiring a fashionista, okay?
No.
So I don't really care if he has a fake tan or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is if the man is going to protect our rights according to the Constitution, period.
Right.
That's your,
right.
There's the job description. That is what we need. And what we have had for the past 2 years is basically a communist. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing he did in 2016 was also revive Americans' sense of themselves as Americans, that we had value and that we needed to be protected first, that we needed a border, that we needed to have our own set of priorities. We were not, we are the world. We were not globalist citizens. We were not global citizens. We were citizens of this country. That, my gosh, the success of his message put him in office. But that again absolutely was the first real pushback against this long march through the institutions. I mean, no president had ever done that before. Ronald Reagan, a lot of conservatives look back at Ronald Reagan. However, he was an internationalist in many ways.
Yeah.
He was happy to work in concert with multinational this and that and the other. Donald Trump had a completely different approach, America first. That had to be smashed. He had to be smashed. And everything we've seen is because of that. It's really kind of like some Homeric, biblical Shakespearean, whatever the biggest thing you can think of is. It's that kind of a story that we have been, part of.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we have seen, listeners, you need to listen to what the person says and then see what they do. You have been lied to for over 2 years now, where they will say, oh, this is your right, or this is not a right, or they're violating this. You have a constitution. Pick it up and read it and find out if they're telling you the truth. Because guess what? Communists don't tell the truth, do they?
No, they don't tell the truth. And they also don't apply the law equally. I mean, one of the big stories that is, the thing that drives me crazy, Audrey, I know it does you as well. The biggest stories of our time, which I would consider to be politically before this Trump thing, but it's connected, the prosecutions of the January 6th Patriots who went to the Capitol to protest and were set up and all the rest of it. That story, the reality of that story that is coming out drop by drop in some of these trials, particularly the Proud Boys trial that's underway right now, that's an alternative media story. That's not a mainstream media story. That incredibly important story about how our government was seized on January 6th and the process was not allowed to go forward in the Congress of actually proposing an audit, checking the ballots, all of that stuff. It was all preempted. That story's alternative media. The die-off from the COVID bioweapon shot is an alternative media story. It's utter madness that the most important stories of our time are able to be suppressed. And that is a testament to the seizure of media, of the information space by this radical totalitarian globalist cabal. It's truly amazing how they boxed the compass in terms of control points. All the gatekeepers were set in place.
Yes.
And it's amazing, and Donald Trump was able to wedge himself in there. And I still haven't forgiven him for his support of the shot, but he's still, now he's back on the front line as the guy, so it's hard not to really go back in terms of sympathy and support. But it's amazing how magnetic his presence has been. And now he's being used to create the crisis of our time to show the people that we don't live in a free country. We live in a dictatorship. That's kind of the lesson of this. And then you sit back and say, what next?
Well, because that's exactly when we mentioned Banana Republic, like a third world nation.
Yeah.
Because if they could do this to him, they could do it to any of us. Yeah, yeah. In New York City. Yeah. They could do it to any of us. Am I correct?
Yes. And I think that what has happened to the January 6th defendants, many of whom have been detained pretrial for over 2 years now in the most hellish gulag-like conditions. I mean, yes, torture, yes. Deprivation, abuse.
Yes.
I think it's all connected to this Trump prosecution, which Audrey may not be the last one. We may see federal charges coming against him as well. And this is something that one of the fine reporters who has been covering this, you know, like a hawk, right on it, Julie Kelly of American Greatness, she said that she's very concerned about charges from the Justice Department against Trump because of this precedent that has this incredibly lawless precedent that has been created with the January 6th detainees of incarceration. Non-criminal offenses, non-criminal record people being incarcerated until trial has become a precedent set by the D.C. federal court, which frankly, can I put in a word here?
Right.
The not that I'm not already, but one more,
yeah,
which
sure.
is that the Congress is now talking, oh, we're going to investigate Alvin Bragg, a democratically elected prosecutor in New York.
Yeah.
Sorry, you just don't have jurisdiction. I'm sorry. However, what are they not investigating? They have jurisdiction. They have oversight responsibilities of that D.C. federal bench that has absolutely run muck, you know, roughshod over all due process
and is
siding consistently with prosecutors from this Justice Department, which, you know, oh, by the way, you know, these people are all Democratic, all Democratic partisans. I mean, the D.C. U.S. Attorney, Matthew Graves, what did he do in 2020? Well, he was on the Biden-Harris Domestic Policy Committee. I mean, and now he's prosecuting.
Yeah.
You know, this is the extent of this politicization that is going on. And Congress has checked out.
Yes. Well, there's the problem. They have, our voices are silenced because the people that we put in there to open their mouths are not, are they?
Yeah. Right.
So are they afraid? Are they afraid of something?
Well, I don't know if they're afraid of something or they're really just, you know, duplicitous,
You have to ask that question.
It's sort of like they have certain powers that they just forget about, and then they make a lot of noise about something else to make us think that they're doing something. And it's, you know, we're sick of it. I know you and I are both sick of it. But think of that with that D.C. bench. It's truly an extraordinary thing. Or now Trump is now, you know, late to the party. I'm sorry, but late to the party calling for Congress to defund the FBI and the DOJ.
Yeah, well, frankly, he should have done it when it was in.
Obvious, and he should have been doing this from January 6th forward. But, you know, it's obvious they have more power than they want to use. And again, it just shows us kind of what, you know, we are up a creek with no paddle. I mean, it's a terrible predicament we're in.
It is. But I'll tell you one thing. He has his support is gone out the wazoo now. I mean,
because it is.
You have people who are, you know, we're in the middle. I think this is a major miscalculation on their part and their desperation to keep power, that they didn't realize what this nation is not Europe. This nation is not New Zealand. This is not Australia. And we are responsible gun owners who understand why the founders gave us the Second Amendment. So I think this is a miscalculation. This is really going to blow up on them.
Well, you know, anything's possible. It's hard to say what what comes next. It really is. But it's a crisis. It's a crisis.
It is. And I think we need to be very concerned because still, I think not enough has been made about our fellow citizens that are incarcerated as we speak, and that they're for nothing. Okay. They're hostages is what they are. And but then they say they're going to go after 1,200 more. So
yes.
These people are run amok. I don't see revamping the FBI. I see ending the FBI.
Yeah, ending
you
the
can't
FBI.
Keep and, anybody. And, you can't keep anyone.
Right. And then meanwhile, the Daily Mail, not an American outlet, but the Daily Mail, to its credit, put up a list of 10 violent felons that the DA in New York, Alvin Bragg, yes. has not yes. bothered to arrest.
Yeah, yeah. So,
the cost and the, I mean, it's, you know, but it's all politics. It's not about, oh, how's he going to make the city run better? Obviously, that's not what he's thinking.
Yeah.
This is war. It's war.
No, it is war. It is war. But it's war on the citizenry. And I think we need to wake up before it's too late. Diana, where can the listeners follow and support your brilliant work and purchase your books, including American Betrayal and The Red Thread? Where can they do all that?
My website, dianawest.net, will have all of that information. And I have a Patreon channel as well, a Diana West Patreon channel. And I'm on Gab. Not Twitter, at Real Diana West.
Let's get you back on Twitter because actually Elon's doing a good job there so far.
I'm still banned.
You're still banned? Okay, that's got to end. Maybe we'll get a message through to him. And of course, as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show pages. Go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info you need to follow Diana's work. Thanks so much again, Diana, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you, Audrey, and amen to all of that.
Thank you.